The Lifeboat Hour with Michael Rupert, Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Please don't ask me who.
From a nightclub at the end of the world, hi, it's me, Mike Rupert again. It is Sunday, December 11th. 2011. We're going to have, I'm going to do a little different dance on the show tonight with y'all. We're going to start off, and I just mentioned this with Gary on the show before we started tonight, that as a result of the latest failing already, you know, Europe, Poland now has to spend 30% of its total national budget on bailouts. That's 30% of its budget to pay the interest on its credit card. Obviously, what's happening with the European economy, David Cameron has shot himself in the foot, and the latest grand bold plan that was driving some ups in the stock market has already been pronounced a failure by CNN and Forbes, and so that's all there, and it's not going to get kicked down the road any further, but a lot of things are converging all at once. In Afghanistan, the situation now, to me, it's very clear that Afghanistan and the ISAF forces in Afghanistan are very closely linked to events in Syria, which are getting hotter by the second. Just yesterday, there was an attack on UN troops in southern Lebanon. They were French troops. And France has said that the attackers in Lebanon were Syrian-backed. So the pieces are all in place for a no-fly zone that the UN will rubber stamp. And that no-fly zone will be a United States Air Force, NATO, and Israeli-imposed no-fly, which will signal the start of World War III because Iran will immediately come into Syria's aid and China. Okay, so we all know that. But there's an interesting, if very suspenseful, balance now, in that Pakistan has just announced today, we'll put this up on the homepage at CollapseNet, should be up sometime within the next couple of hours, BBC reports that the Pakistani government has indicated that it is going to continue to block all overland truck shipments to ISAF forces in Afghanistan. That was 1,000 trucks a day, and that was a lot of lethal supplies and a lot of fuel. And so that's going to stay in place. And I'm absolutely convinced tonight that the quid pro quo is this, that the ISAF force in Afghanistan is not going to start getting supplies again until there is a firm agreement on the table that Syria is not going to be touched. That's the kind of chicken the world is playing tonight. But it's playing chicken on many fronts. Hold on one second. I'm going to do a tech thing here. There. Okay, thank you. So I wanted to start off tonight by reading a poem. I'm waiting on a call in tonight from Ronnie Krausman of Transition US. They're having another fund drive this year. We had a big success with them last year, and I hear he's standing by on the line. We'll get to him in a minute. But I wanted to start off tonight. I was sent this amazing poem through CollapseNet from a CollapseNet member. And boy, if I ever had any doubt in my mind that CollapseNet is the kind of people that I want to be associated with and listen to and hang with, and really make you not feel alone, I'm going to put this up this week on the website. But this is a poem that was sent by Catherine Hurd, H-U-R-D. And I told her I'd read it on the air tonight. I offered her the shot, and she asked me to. So I'll give it a shot, Catherine. The Madmen. The madmen have the earth while we sing praises of the sunlit day and touch our children's cheeks. The madmen work silently and secretly while we build homes, plant gardens, and watch the dusk fade into night. The madmen build equations and plot numbers on gray graphs lined with their acquisitions. We haven't trusted too much to them, and now they have us. We are preoccupied with toys and hope and ambition. We walk through fields and cities, the sun hot on our faces. Safely in the way things always were, we breathe the smell of rain and pray to a God who has allowed the madmen to steal his gifts to us. And we have allowed it to. They work in cold rooms, rooms without shadows or tears, lit fluorescently with insatiability. They breathe filtered air, detached and sterile. They have forgotten where they came from, and they have gone mad, and now they have the earth, which they do not love. She is a child kidnapped by strangers, and I fear for her. Thank you, Catherine. That was awesome. I just needed to share that, so I just did, and we hope that all of the however many hundreds of thousands of people are downloading us every week. It's really gratifying to get those numbers, and I want to thank Progressive Radio Network and Gary Null and just the way this little magic is coming together in the PRN family and for the success. It's a good thing. Well, about a year ago, we got deeply involved here on the Lifeboat Hour, and I did it at CollapseNet. In supporting Transition US, they had at the time a $100,000 challenge grant, which if they matched, if they raised $100,000, they were given another $100,000. And what happened as a result of that was the last donation that put them over the top came in as a result of you guys from this show, and we were just thrilled to be a part of that. Now, it's been a very different and difficult year, and Transition is having another fundraiser this year, and we all understand the climate and all that, but they have a December 31st matching grant smaller, and last year we had with us Ronnie Krausman of Transition US, and I'm understanding you're on the line. Are you there, Ronnie?
That's right, Mike. How you doing?
All right, man. How are you?
Good.
All right, so first of all, tell everybody on the show, because you know, I can't believe the year went by this fast. What Transition US was able to do as a result of the success last year, and where you're trying to go now?
Well, the success last year was huge. We crossed that challenge grant mark on December 23rd, and like you said, it was actually one of your listeners that put us over the top, which was really cool. We managed to grow from 77 initiatives across the country, working to transition the country to a post-carbon future, all the way up to 105 initiatives in 31 states.
Mm.
There are folks in Florida and New Jersey and Nevada, all over the country, who are really facing climate change, peak oil, and the economic crisis, and taking action at the local level to actually transition us.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, as you said, we have another actually $100,000 goal. We just crossed the $50,000 mark. So we're over that 50-yard line, but we still have quite a ways to go here in the next 3 weeks. And we're lucky to have a few really cool companies like Autodesk and Nutiva that have offered to match every dollar raised as we go. So if a viewer tonight gives $100, well, then that's $200 that's going to go to help us reach that goal.
And you are a 501c3, so it's not that it's going to matter much longer, but you know, every little bit helps. How do people donate if they want to? Where do they go?
People go online to transitionus.org/donate. So just go to the website, www.transitionus.org, and there's a really big donate button, or just put the /donate and go there really easy. And if you do that and you help us reach our goal, then what we'll be able to do next year, our goal is to get to 200 initiatives in 50 states, help those initiatives do even more to transition their towns. Our slogan right now is, we've opened the door, let's bring America through. So all the stuff that all your listeners and so many people around the country have done for the last decade to shift people's ideas, to make organic and sustainable and things like peak oil actually important issues,
right.
We got a lot of people interested now. Now let's actually make those changes in our communities, regardless of what the federal government does.
All right, excellent. And I'll put this out tonight that anyone who makes a donation tonight, and you can memo on their site, and you mentioned Lifeboat Hour. If Transition US will hold on to that information, anybody who donates tonight will get a free one-year membership to CollapseNet along with it.
Awesome. And a few dozen of your listeners did that last year, so it was just awesome to see that light up during the call. Thank you.
We have some really, really cool people here. I love everybody at Transition US. We're all neighbors. We're all involved in the Grange. We're just all doing this. This change of consciousness seems to be occupying a lot of places, and you guys are a big part of it.
Thanks, Mike. We really appreciate your support.
All right. Thanks for coming on tonight.
All right. Have a good one.
Okay. All right. Transition US, www.transitionus.org. Go there and help them out, because it may be 11:59 and 50 seconds, but there's a lot of really good stuff that's happening with a lot of vigor right now, and we really want to keep the energy flowing in the right direction. Okay, now before we go a little further here, I need to go into a pretty dark place, and I want you all to go with me tonight, because it's a place sometimes even I have been kind of afraid to go to ask questions, but I think it's important. If you're a ClapsNet member, you know that we have been experiencing a very methodical, very vicious, energetic cyber attacks on many, many levels. DDoS, hacking of emails, viruses, everything. And we have an amazing IT team, and they're just like Ted Williams. They have 50 years experience between them. Mostly all volunteers, not getting paid, and that's kind of good. We would like to pay them some more, but everybody understands the boat we're all in at this moment. And that's been really wearing us down. And not too long ago, those of you who have followed me for a while, there's a guy named Rice Farmer, who's one of our great editorial researcher, investigator, human beings who lives in Japan. He's an American citizen. Is a military veteran, and he's been walking about 10 years with me online, and he's just an amazing human being. He's out growing rice and going to a community meeting now, and he shares with us on ClapsNet and with me all the great stuff that's being done in Japan to grow more food and to pull collectively together and build community. It's kind of inspiring. He emailed me, Rice Farmer emailed me this last week, and he said, you know, Mike, this is beginning to feel like it's time to have the computer smashed again, which is what happened to me in Oregon in 2006 when I was publishing the Pat Tillman series at From the Wilderness. And I emailed him back. I sent him a happy face first because I'm kind of sick. And I emailed him back, and I said, no, this time will be worse. And it will, and we're prepared for that. We have witnessed this week a former U.S. senator and U.S. governor, former CEO of Goldman Sachs, testify in Congress that $1.2 billion of other people's money that he was charged with safekeeping disappeared, and golly gee, he just has no idea where it went. Shucks. He got away with it. We had a clip up on the ClapsNet site this week where one of the senators actually called John Corzine God in an open hearing room. You know, how sick can it get? How sick does it get? But it's clear here's another key part, which kind of goes to where I want to talk about tonight. We have a story going up on the World News Desk tomorrow from Washington Blog. You'll never guess who drafted the core of the Patriot Act before the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995. Joe Biden. Joe, that speaks enormous volumes. There has never been a time when the corrupt, criminal, evil people who have taken our government and taken our country, taken over the world, have not been in control. And that kind of leads to where I'm going tonight. You know, it's kind of a tough week. We're approaching the winter solstice, and there's more darkness every day. And so we see that in that the cops raided Occupy San Francisco at the San Francisco Fed today, and Occupy is supposed to shut down the ports from Anchorage to San Diego, and I read also during the week maybe in the Gulf too. But the San Francisco Examiner just posted a story that says that they're doing it this time without the unions, and there's some tension there. So. We have hopes, and I've said clearly that, you know, I believe Occupy is the last greatest hope of mankind. There's not going to be any chances after this. And so we saw a couple days ago, about 45,000 people in the streets of Moscow. And like Gary said just before, that these were the mockers, these were the middle class, and they were nonviolent. And so there is a dimension now which Occupy is having. I can tell you of a certainty that Occupy is going to be very high on CIA's watch list and in terms of communications, because it is having an international impact, and it's subtle. Occupy moves deep under the carpet before it bulges someplace else, and it may look different, but we have great hopes, and I salute and say hi to all my brothers and sisters in the Occupy movement tonight. We had a great show last week with Ian Escuela, Dave DeGraw, and the oh-so-cool Shamar Thomas. Yeah, Marine, though. He likes never mind. It's an Army versus Marine thing. He likes, you know, doing things the hard way. A great show, and I'm in touch with a lot of people, and standing in solidarity with all of you tonight, and we all know that there's not a lot of time left. So what I'm kind of getting to tonight is it was 2003 when some of the biggest revelations occurred to me about what it was I had been researching. That was, I was writing Crossing the Rubicon at the time, very deep into the 9/11 investigation. But it was in early 2003 that I came up with the line, it hit me, until you change the way money works, you change nothing. And I began to get a full glimpse of this kind of insane time where human behavior would be so suicidal and so self-destructive, not only of itself, but of the planet, and that whatever intelligence was behind the governing paradigm knew full well that this brick wall was going to be hit. And there's been, you know, just scores of things to underscore that, to drive that home for me over the years. Like, for example, we published at FTW declassified CIA documents from 76, about 2 years after M. King Hubbard testified in Congress, showed that CIA was tracking peak oil flows in Russia and using peak oil prognostic. I mean, so it's like everybody knew and everybody has known all along. And to a large part, to a large extent, I think a lot of us work in a paradigm. It's like, well, whoever these people are, the people who own the Federal Reserve, the people who own Bank of International Settlements, whatever, they're very intelligent people, and surely they must know what's going on. So we're going to go deeper into that tonight, and we're going to go deeper into that by using something that came to me in a dream, and I saw a movie this week. We're going to use the model from a book called The Time Machine, written by H.G. Wells in 1895. I want to talk about that in a second, because in that book, I think I find something that is both revealing about the dynamics that are in play at this critical last minute of whatever it is that's going on. This is what gives me the glimpse into understanding it, and I don't want to do it alone. So that's why I want you to do it with me. But before that, I want to play a song. Kind of sets the mood. It's kind of cool, actually. I got an email from a Facebook friend, Brent Batty Page, who is the lead guitarist for a really good band called The Wandas. And he sent me this. He said, my name is Brent Batty. I'm a musician from Boston, and I wrote a song called Abandoned Ship about your lifeboat imagery. My band is called The Wandas. We're a serious band. Tour nationally and do pretty well. I wanted to know if I could send you our tune with the lyrics. I'm definitely a fan of New White Trash. I love that. Know you're a musician as well, and hope my song can help the tipping of human consciousness to the new modern awareness. I got to tell you, I love this song, and I heard strong influence from Roger Waters and Dave Gilmour, some amazing. Let's just take the ride together. Let's listen to a song called Abandoned Ship.
Orion dons his veil as useless as his ship. The frozen night is enveloping. And as your walls come down, panic amidst screams. Rich folks scurry, yeah. Abandoned ship. Abandoned ship. Abandoned ship. Prayers from my young nun, comfort in the pain, pulling down the hole, tie me to the rail, suspending us on beam,
By the Wanderers. Look them up. That song rocks. I needed that. That just kind of sets the stage for where I'm going. Speaking of music, I'm going to cross something off of my bucket list this week. And I've never gotten to see Sean Colvin play live. And I just worship her. And she's playing in Petaluma. So I'm going on Wednesday night. Got to cross that off my bucket list. And I'm going to really enjoy that. It helps a lot. Okay. Now let's go into this a little bit, because let's dig a little deeper. It is so clear that the powers that be understand exactly what they're doing with the world. These are not that crazy people. The madman poem totally expressed that, and it's the way their behavior looks to us. But my wonder has always been, what if it's not madness? What if, because it's clear that an agenda is being followed, and it looks like, to any sentient being, that agenda includes the destruction of this planet, the possible extinction of all life on it, destroying the planet for even the children of the powers that be. It is obvious that we are careening madly toward a brick wall at full speed. And the brick wall appears to be here, pretty much. So not too long ago, a couple of weeks, I saw a remake of a movie called The Time Machine. And this one had an actor who I really think is terrific, Guy Pearce. I fell in love with him in L.A. Confidential. He's a great actor. And I was, as I was watching the movie, I had a revelation. But let me read you what I ripped off. Well, okay, it's the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a station break. When I come back, I'm going to read you what I got about the time machine. We're going to ask some of the deepest, darkest questions, because quite frankly, I don't know if I'm going to be around much longer to be able to ask them, or if any of us are. So maybe it's time to throw the big ones out. I'm going to leave you with that bit of suspense as we take a station break right now with great thanks to PRN.FM. We'll come back with you right after these messages.
You are listening to A Progressive Moment on the Progressive Radio Network.
This is Glenn Ford.
And Nellie Bailey of Black Agenda Radio.
It's the place for news, commentary, and analysis from the Black Left.
Listen to us every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, or download our show anytime from the archives on PRN.FM.
Progressive Radio Network is moving forward. We hope you're coming with us.
Hi, I'm Johnny Mueller of the Expat Files, living in Latin America. It's the only show of its kind that tells you exactly what it's like to live, work, and or play in Latin America. So if you're thinking about getting off that first world treadmill, or just curious about how you can live a first world lifestyle down here in Latin America for a third of what you pay up in the States, and with half the stress, like I've been doing for the last 20 years, just tune in Monday and Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, or click on the archives for all my past shows at PRN.FM. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
Don't miss out on Dr. Michio Kaku's weekly show, Explorations. Dr. Kaku is the only scientist with his own nationally syndicated radio show. Explorations is the program that explains complex physics with an accessible approach. So take an exploration with Dr. Michio Kaku, Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to discuss topics ranging from space exploration to stem cell research.
Hi, this is Mike Fader. I want to tell you about an exciting new show here on PRN. It's called Occupied Territory. The Occupied movement across the country is in its early stages right now, but it's growing fast, and it promises to give tens of millions of disappointed, disgusted, and disenfranchised Americans their first hope in decades at achieving real representative government. Please join me every Wednesday at 1 p.m. to hear the voices of Occupy participants from all parts of the country. We'll keep you up to date on actions, reactions, and new initiatives as they develop, and we'll take your calls. The show will also be available in the archives. So please tune in for Occupied Territory with Mike Fader here on PRN, Wednesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern.
You're listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Songs we did on our double CD called Double Wide, and you can find that at newwhitetrash.com, and privileged, greatly happy to have been a part of that band. Don't Dig Too Deep is kind of like the theme for tonight. That's why I wanted to make sure we played that. Okay, The Time Machine. It's a book by H.G. Wells. This is what I copied off of Wikipedia, and this will set it up for you if you're not familiar with it. Excuse me. In the new narrative, the time traveler tests his device with a journey that takes him to the year 802,701 AD, where he meets the Eloi, a society of small, elegant, childlike adults. They live in small communities within a large and futuristic yet slowly deteriorating buildings. They do no work, and they have a frugivorous diet, which means fruit eating. His efforts to communicate with them are hampered by their lack of curiosity or discipline, and he speculates that they are a peaceful communist society, the result of humanity conquering nature with technology and subsequently evolving to adapt to an environment in which strength and intellect are no longer advantageous to survival. Returning to the site where he arrived, the time traveler finds his time machine missing and eventually works out that it has been dragged by some unknown party into a nearby structure with heavy doors locked from the inside, which resembles a sphinx. Later in the dark, he is approached menacingly by the Morlocks, ape-like troglodytes who live in darkness, underground, and surface only at night. Within their dwellings, he discovers the machinery and industry that makes the above-ground paradise possible. He alters his theory, speculating that the human race has evolved into two species. The leisured classes have become the ineffectual alloy, and the downtrodden working classes have become the brutish, light-fearing Morlocks. There's a great switch there. We'll talk about that. Deducing that the Morlocks have taken his time machine, he explores the Morlock tunnels, learning that they feed on the Eloi. Yes, they eat them. They harvest them. They herd them up, and they call them. That's what they do. He revised his revised analysis is that their relationship is not one of lords and servants, but of livestock and ranchers, and with no real challenges facing either species. They have both lost the intelligence and character of man at its peak. The Morlocks use the time machine as bait, and they try to ensnare the traveler, not understanding that he will use it to escape. He travels further ahead to roughly 30 million years. There he sees some of the last living things on a dying Earth, menacing reddish crab-like creatures slowly wandering the blood-red beaches chasing butterflies in a world covered in simple vegetation. He continues to make short jumps through time, seeing Earth's rotation gradually cease and the sun grow dimmer and the world falling silent, freezing as the last degenerate living things die out. Okay, use that model. This is what so gripped me about this. All of a sudden, as I was watching this movie, I saw the powers that be as being the Morlocks. And that we, 7 billion of us, were deliberately grown for the purpose of being eaten. And which is what's happening now, and it's kind of interesting how that works. And one of the lines that I've known for, you know, from writing for a long time is that you make money on the way up and you make money on the way down. I don't know how many times I have said that in the current crisis of peak oil and a collapsing, totally corrupt economic system, that it's more profitable to destroy things now than it is to save them. Well, what if that was indeed the design built into the infinite growth paradigm at its start? And so you're going to help me talk about this tonight, and let's go there and see what we can extract in terms of meaning from this, because I'm going to go deeper into it in a second. The number is 1-888-874-4888, or you can email me directly at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. So going ahead with this a little bit further, because it's been so difficult for me for all the years that I have been doing this and all the writing through FTW and two books and whatever, to live in a really schizophrenic explanation construct of what's happening right now, how insane it is, how stupid it is to be killing the world, how ridiculous it is to be killing all the people on it, and yet be aware that there were people like H.G. Wells, like Orson Welles, Orwell. Thank you, George Orwell, Aldous Huxley, who so clearly, so long ago, saw the things that we are living in today. And recently when I spoke in Portland, I said, you know, I'm not a student of Mayan prophecy. I am not, you know, but you'd have to be an idiot to miss the way things are lining up with those prophecies. And in Portland, I said, well, you know, at least we know that if it does come to pass that there was something that wasn't a lie, you know, that there was some truth to this. But I'm faced with this big hole in my construct as to why the powers that be, if they have all of this infinite power, cannot full well see that they are destroying the planet on which they live. And they've taken us right now to the brink of a nuclear conflict over Syria and Iran. And if not that, over the South China Sea. Peak oil is here. We're using resources all the wrong way. The climate is totally destroyed. Our dear Mother Earth is a very unhappy lady right now. And she's not feeling good. And yet this madness just seems to be so purposeful and so driven. And so I asked myself, I said, well, they're behaving almost as if they wanted to trash the place and then they were just going to leave it and discard it when they were done. But where are they going to go? And, I have never touched aliens or extraterrestrials because I would have never been able to accomplish what I've accomplished had I. And I don't know, but that would make sense. But, there are people who would say this is evil. Evil which seeks its own death and appears to be fully willing and capable of achieving it. And of course, all of us share a collective responsibility for this to one degree or another. I don't know if we've found the 100th monkey yet. I pray that we have. I hear people say that we have, but we will know when that happens. But this has been one of the things that I've been really afraid kind of at times to really dig too deep about to find out. But now, with the way things are, what's the point in not? You get, we don't go to the places we don't want to go until there's no place left to go. For all the years that I've been doing this, there's a line from a Jackson Browne song, I've been waiting for a week or a month or a year, I've been waiting for Don Henley, I've been waiting for reason to arrive. And we're at the place, as we look at the world around us tonight, and we have to say, maybe it's not going to arrive. And yet there's still something behind this orchestrated, synchronized, collapsed, crushing of the global economy. We so want to identify who the people are that are responsible for this. And, as close as we've been able to come is the owners of banks like the Federal Reserve and the other big banks around the world. And, peeling the layers of the onion gets more difficult as you get closer to the core. But they're going to have to reveal themselves to one degree or another here very soon. I am absolutely and totally disgusted that there is no outrage on the provisions in the Defense Appropriations Bill that will allow the military to indefinitely hold without charge American citizens on American soil. It's like it should be total outrage, and of course it's not. And we don't worry about the mainstream media anymore. I did a video update for the CollapseNet members this week, and I saw something that was just so bizarre on CNN, and I put a screenshot in there. It was the CNN money page Friday after the markets had closed, and the lead story was, "The Europe is doomed, get over it," whatever the headline was. But it was CNN, and when CNN says the EU is doomed, it's already like a fait accompli, and everybody else knew it. And because CNN doesn't want to be wrong, and they're part of it. But that was the lead story on the CNN money page. And to the right was the stock market ticker, and the Dow was up 195. And why was the Dow up 195? Because you go back to the CNN homepage, and it says the European problem is solved. Again, market, it's like, whoa. It's in the last 2 years, but in the last year especially, it has become impossible to watch mainstream media under any circumstances. Nobody's calling, nobody's writing. I guess I scared you guys all. Well, all right. Somebody will pop up, I'm sure, whoever's supposed to. This is a really nasty agenda. And it's looking like we will not know, maybe not until the last minute, even if we do then. And, there are many energies circulating now, and a lot of them are good, and there's a big awakening underway. But I've always walked this line between having to approach anything that I wrote, articles or books, from either the standpoint of these people in government or the banks don't get it, and maybe if we get, but that's the dysfunctional way all of us in peak oil have behaved. Maybe that's a harsh term, but we've all kind of approached the time, well, these people just need to see the picture clearly. But of course, we've known that they have seen the picture clearly. And if any of us out here, whether we've been at this for a decade or a year or two, with our awareness, with our growing awareness of the situation, we want to have an understanding of how this could get this screwed up. And maybe another possible explanation, if I lapse a Jungian for a minute, Carl Jung, is that there are collective archetypes at play, or there are, there are definitely extra-dimensional forces, spiritual forces at play. Many of us are witnessing that right now. But this is going to be on my mind until something breaks either one way or another. This is going to be like maybe a parting thought if I get taken down next week or the week after, which is probably going to come. It doesn't make any difference. Oh, good, we got some callers. Thanks. Because I really want feedback on that. But this is going to be hanging. So this is kind of, to those of you who have treated me as a teacher, this is the great question that I'm leaving you with that you're going to need to answer, because I just absolutely know that until we drag whatever it is out and expose it and face it head on, nothing is going to be solved. We got a caller, Aaron from South Carolina. Aaron, you there?
Yeah, hey, Mike.
All right, what's up, man?
Oh, not much. I just wanted to talk to you. I just got done reading Crossing the Rubicon not too long ago.
Good, you
actually gave me a free membership, and I wanted to thank you in person for that.
Oh, good.
I had sent you an email about I was the guy that was in the Navy that got out.
Oh, yeah.
During 9/11.
Yes.
And your book, the Crossing the Rubicon, really kind of ties some things together for me, because when I got out, I knew just that I didn't know exactly why. I just knew something was really wrong with what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent a lot of time researching it, and that, of course, I ended up crossing Alex Jones's path and during that whole thing, because of the whole 9/11 truth thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the time, I had no idea about peak oil, and then through the years, I for whatever reason knew kind of that something was wrong off with Alex Jones, and quit listening to him and following him. That's when I came across peak oil. So it wasn't really until, and I've been studying peak oil for the last 4 years or so,
mm-hmm.
Reading Pineberg, Kunstler, all the major works. And it wasn't really until I read Crossing the Rubicon that it tied the two things together for me.
Yep. I'm kind of proud of that, and thank you. I mean, if I were to look back on my life and say one of the things that I'm proudest of as a journalist, as a writer, a thinker, was I tied peak oil and 9/11 together inextricably and forever.
Yes, you did, and it was that's an invaluable. I wish I could. I'll tell you what, if I could have got a hold of that book when it was published, it would have saved me a lot of time.
Well, everybody finds stuff when they're supposed to. So, what do you think about the time machine?
Right. Well, and that was the thing. I was definitely wanting to comment on that. And now I work in EMS now. And I work for a county EMS service,
mm-hmm.
and it's just being ripped apart right now from the top. And it starts, and I mean it's kind of a reflection. I think the way I see it, it's kind of a reflection of just America in general.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the way the CEOs, of all these corporations and our politicians, and it's just. Dmitry Orlov had an interesting blog. I think you linked to it on the Collapse.
I did.
Recently.
Thank you, Dmitry.
Really, I mean, that was to the T. And after I read that, it was like, I could see that's exactly what's happening to our service.
Yes.
And everybody at the service is just, miserable. I mean, you would not believe the amount of EMTs at our service that are, and, I could probably get in trouble for even saying this, but a lot of them are, I mean, a lot of people just the dealer are getting on antidepressants.
Oh, no, we've actually had some stories on that on CollapseNet. Yeah, anyway, go ahead.
So, you know, it's true, and I think, you know, knowing that it really is a reflection of America and the way our country and government and the 1% runs our country, and being able to see it at a small county level like I can, mm-hmm. working EMS, you really see that. I think it really is more just incompetence than anything else.
Is it stupid? Okay, we got to vote for stupid. Yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, it's not, but it's the incompetence is because they can't see what they're doing. Like, it's just because they just want the numbers to look right, or and whatever they're looking at, it's they can't see the reality of it.
That's been a place that's been an option for me, I'll speak as a cop might say it. There's stupid, and then there's felony stupid.
Right.
You know, and then there's death penalty stupid.
Right.
You know, and so I think that's where we are with these people. I have another caller on the line. I want to get to Matt in Wisconsin. But, Aaron, thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you, Mike.
All right, man. Take care.
You too.
Matt, you there in Wisconsin?
Yes, Mike. How you doing?
All right. How cold is it?
It's actually not too bad. It was only about 45 degrees today. It's decent. Wasn't too bad.
I'm at 44 right now. So okay, all right.
All right, we're in the same type of lifeboat, I guess.
Yeah.
What do you got on the
time machine?
Well, real quick, I just want to say that I actually did a speech in one of my classes the other day on Collapse, the movie you made, a little 10-minute speech. So just wanted to give you the kudos for
that.
I put your name up on the screen and everything.
Thank you.
The time machine. I want to lay this out for you. I want you to consider this. The agenda that you're trying to figure out. Okay. The agenda is slavery, bondage, genocide by slavery, by war, by starvation. It's basically death. In a nutshell, it's death. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, we have to consider why would a group of people try to be doing this?
Yeah.
Okay? Now, me, I know you've claimed to, you know, you said you've read the Bible 4 times, correct?
3.
3, okay. Now, I am a Christian. I'm a strong Christian, and I take that ideology to heart. Basically, what we're seeing, this agenda is a purely evil agenda with the only goal of death, okay?
Okay.
If you look at the movie you're talking, or the book you're talking about, Time Machine, how does it end? It ends with the light going away, darkness.
Mm-hmm.
That's evil. In a nutshell, that's every description of hell and whatnot. Okay,
and that's not just the Christian construct, too. I mean, if you look at the symbol for the Tao, or you know, native spirituality, it's all there. You know.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So all these other cultures and religions recognize that the disappearance of good, the good of man, is the light going out, or you know, death and what have you. Okay. So basically, to sum up my, you know, obviously we could talk about this for hours, but.
We got 6 minutes.
Yeah, we got 6 minutes. All right. But to basically sum it up is what you're seeing is nothing but the building of a satanic empire. It's a building of an evil empire.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to take over the world where it's no longer God, the good God, no matter what religion you're talking about, where it's no longer the God of good and love that leads people. It's a God of evil, murder, and death, and slavery, and all these bad things. He takes over the world. And this can, here, consider this. Consider this real quick. This is the only time in human history, okay, where the actual possibility, because of technology, because of, you know, radio frequency stuff,
mm-hmm.
because of computers, the only time in human history where the possibility of enslaving the entire planet is actually possible. It's never been possible before.
And part and parcel with that is the fact that what's going to come with that is the death of everything on the planet.
Exactly. That's because evil only begets evil. Martin Luther King said that. You know, or if you go to Romans, you can't destroy evil with evil. You can only destroy evil with good. So, you know, to go to the Bible again, Jesus Christ, he died lovingly. He didn't fight. That overcame evil, if you believe in the forgiveness of sins through that.
As have a great many prophets and heroes and spiritual teachers throughout the course of mankind, yes. Willingly.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, in my opinion, this agenda you're trying to understand is, from a Christian perspective, it's nothing but Satan building his empire to take over the world.
And
in a nutshell, that's all it is.
And Satan will not be satisfied until the last lights go out everywhere.
Okay. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
We have another call from New York. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. No problem. You take care.
All right, man. Matt from New York, you there? Or excuse me, Robert, New York.
Hello?
Robert, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, man, I got you.
Hey, are you familiar with game theory?
A little bit.
Okay, because I actually just watched a presentation on game theory. It's actually online at academicearth.org. And I found it to be very interesting. And in passing, he actually talked about peak oil. So I think it's something to really, really look at. I just saw it about a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the idea is that, how do I put this? You know, if there's 1,000 fish in the lake and you and I both live in the lake, it's in both of our interests to fish the lake as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really becomes the agenda. Assuming we aren't working together.
Brother, if that's the case, then this species does not deserve to survive.
Well, that's his
and
point.
It won't.
He said that really if you look at the collapse of all these civilizations, it's almost always because of this game theory thing. So anyway, I think it's something to really research. And it was interesting because it's a Yale professor and he just, in passing, kind of mentions peak oil. And to me, I found that really, really profound.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, I guess my point is, I think the agenda on an individual basis is, I want the resources for my country.
Well, if that's the case, then the human race definitely doesn't deserve to survive, because whoever wins World War III, there's going to be no spoils of war. Winning the race after World War III, there's going to be there's no more growth possible. So, it's kind of a catch-22.
Yeah, I guess what you're saying is if I'm wrong.
Well, I don't know. It's like that's what we're trying to find out. Thank you for calling in, though, Robert. I appreciate it.
Yep, no problem.
All right. We're down to the last few minutes. So I'm going to tell you guys, I guess where I am with this. I am absolutely convinced, now both on an intellectual level and a spiritual level, personally, that, yes, this is going to be this is what's coming as the consummation of evil. Whether you approach it from a Christian standpoint, a Taoist standpoint, a Native American standpoint, whatever standpoint, there is a wisdom that has obviously been around that has known that these times would come. H.G. Wells, George Orwell, all of that. There has been indigenous wisdom that has called these times pretty scarily to the T. So what I know is that very soon we will be in the heart of the darkness. We will face the heart of the darkness one way or another. Nobody knows how. But the idea is to keep your eyes open and to be facing it, because there will be something after that. And that's the reason why so many of us have labored so long on the field of peak oil and sustainability, and I salute all the comrades who have, who walked that path before me, from King Hubbard to Colin Camp, all of them, and all the people who are now emerging with a new consciousness to open the door that little seeds of a new way of life can be here. What we hope is that there will not be a nuclear conflict that prevents that from happening. But nonetheless, when the lights do go out, know that that life will continue and that something will go on. And now we're just like at the last few minutes of this movie. And I can guarantee you that we'll be living in a different world by next week. And we may have been through two different worlds by the week after that. It's picking up pace. It's getting stronger. So we share that together in our consciousness. And we, all of us who hear this voice and feel it, we link up spiritually, consciously, emotionally, and we join. I'll close with this tonight. I got an email this week from an Army Ranger vet, and it was a good email about and basically what he was talking about was getting more people to see. And I emailed him back, and here's what I said. I said, I really think the issue now is not getting 5 or 10 more people to see what we see. I think the issue now is us seeing all of each other, being able to see all of each other, being able to understand how many of us there are who are very clear about what's going on, and we have taken our position where we stand. And it's my prayer that somehow through a miracle of consciousness, maybe something called Occupy, or maybe something else that evolves from Occupy or something else, that all of a sudden we will be seeing each other in spite of all the barriers the powers that be have put up to keep us from doing that. That's the only thing that may make a lot of difference anymore, right now, anyway. And I'll shut up tonight and say thank you. It's been a great show, and I, for the course of doing this show now, about a year and a half, it's been an amazing journey, and I want to thank all of you for all the numbers that continue to grow every week, and for coming to us at PRN. And I will be back to you next week on Sunday, December 18th, 3 days away from the shortest day of the year, with another segment of the Lifeboat Hour. Good night. When your back's up against the wall again, you're the new white trash. You're the new white trash.